daybreak, I opened my eyes. I looked from my window, saw your beautiful sky. I opened my Bible, then I knelt down to pray. I just want to thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. The family's all healthy, we've got plenty to eat. We don't wear high fashion, but we've got shoes on our feet. We don't have much money, but our bills are all paid. I just want to thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. The Lord is my shepherd, He supplies all my needs. My pastures are green, the water is cool, and I can kneel at His feet. I have goodness and mercy as I go on my way. I just want to thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. The Lord is my shepherd, He supplies all my needs. My pastures are green, the water is cool, and I can sit at His feet. I have goodness and mercy as I go on my way. I just want to thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. I just want to thank you, for this beautiful day.
And have your Bibles this morning. We're going to be looking in the book of Genesis, chapter number 6. Before we pray, before we preach, I want to read just a couple of verses to us as we remember today and this weekend and tomorrow is Memorial Day. And as we remember those who have sacrificed all that we might be free. I mean, that is a great sacrifice that they have made. And the Bible tells us, we read this verse, and it just kind of reminded me of that kind of sacrifice. In Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 3, it says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And amen, I truly believe that that's what our young men and women that have sacrificed everything, that's what they did. Amen. That's not, they didn't consider themselves, but they considered, amen, others. And so let's remember them, thankful for them, and pray for their families. Amen. Amen. We want to pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for this time. And we ask you even now as we come, Father, these requests, these needs, and these names that's been mentioned this morning, we know that you're able to touch and able to minister. Father, able to heal, to help, to encourage, and Father, to comfort. We just pray that you put your hand upon each and every one, each and every situation. And we know this morning that you can begin to minister and know how to minister better than we can ever begin to even pray. But Father, we know that you are a big God this morning and that there's nothing that's too hard for you, nothing impossible with you. And we just thank you this morning that we have such a place to go. Ask you to touch and to minister and to help us in all of these situations. And Father, we pray this morning that you would put your hand upon us and make us an able minister of the Word of God. Open up our hearts and our minds that we might hear and receive the Word. And Father, touch me that I might preach that would be pleasing to you. And Father, we just thank you now for all this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In the book of Genesis, chapter 6, we mentioned and we preached a little bit about Noah last week. This morning, the Lord willing, for just a few minutes, I want to preach to you on this thought, and that is the preaching of the ark. The preaching of the ark. Now, in Genesis chapter 6, we read in verse number 13, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch." And then we look down in verse number 22 of chapter 6, and it says, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Amen. That verse right there, I mean, just when I read that, "so did he," it reminds me of what was told them at the marriage feast at Canaan when they were told that whatsoever he says, you do it. Amen. God help us, we would be in a lot better place, and boy, we would have probably in our lives, we could probably say amen to the fact that if we had have just did everything that Jesus said, there'd have been a lot of times when we could look back and we'd have been better off. Amen. It would have been better for us if we'd have just did those things that Jesus had commanded us to do. But it said that God gave instruction to Noah, and Noah did everything that God commanded him to do. And so the ark was and is a testimony. And when we read about it, we may read about that and all that went on, and we may wonder at the size of such an undertaking. And when we went and when we walked up to the life-size replica of the ark, you're struck at once, or at least I was, by the enormity of the ark. I mean, the size. I mean, we think about it when we read scripture, and I mean, I never doubted, amen, what God told Noah to do and what Noah did and that. But when you actually put your eyes on it and you see the size of the project that was built and undertaken, amen, and boy, what a project that it was. But the ark was and is a symbol to the world, and as we read the story, or whenever you go and those that go around and they view this replica, it still preaches today. I mean, when you read the account of the ark, or you see this and you think about that, amen, there's still some things that it's saying to us today. And that's what I want to look at. First of all, amen, we see a memorial of divine goodness. The ark is a memorial of divine goodness. It reminds us of God's saints. Amen. The Noah, the Bible said about Noah in verse number 8 here of this chapter. Amen. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Amen. So it reminds us of the saints of God. Among all the people that was upon the face of the earth in the days of Noah, amen, Noah stood out. He stood alone as one that feared God, that loved God. Amen. He stood alone and he stood firm in faith, bold in courage, And God didn't forget about him. God knew where Noah was. Sometimes we kind of get to thinking that, you know, we get lost in our little corner of the world and nobody cares, nobody sees, and different. But God knows and God sees. God does not forget about us. Amen. We may forget about him, but he never forgets about us. And so it is a reminder, amen, of God's goodness, that which God did. The Bible tells us, and we won't turn and read there, but you can just make a mark, 1 Peter 3:20, it tells us that God waited while the ark was being prepared. God told Noah, here's what we're going to do, but amen, boy, there was a space of time that God waited. Amen, he was showing mercy. He was showing goodness. It also reminds us of his regard for the families of the saints. Now, the Bible don't tell us, it don't go into in depth about Noah and his family and the boys and the daughters and the wife and all that it is, but it tells us about Noah, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah began, and God told Noah, here's what you do. And Noah, you know what he did? The Bible tells us that he built a house to the saving of who? Of not just himself, but amen, of his family. Amen. It is a good thing. And Noah's family got to receive the benefit and the blessings, amen, that came from being in Noah's family. And many in this world today have received of the earthly benefits and blessings because mom and daddy or grandma and grandpa, amen, has spent many an hour praying over them, taking them to church, teaching him the Word of God, telling him about God, about Jesus. Amen. And so they've experienced those things. And so it was with Noah that God blessed his family and his children, Noah, because, amen, they belonged to him. I think a lot of times about Lot and the blessing that he got. Why did he get a blessing? Amen. Because he had a connection with Abraham. Amen. God blessed him and that he had Abraham for an uncle. Here's the sad part. In this world, there's many that receive a lot of blessings because they are connected with a godly family, a godly mom and daddy, a godly aunt or uncle, godly grandparents or whoever it might be. But amen. But in the end, they actually miss the boat. They miss out. Because, amen, while God, we may receive blessings here, amen, we have to make it ours. Amen, it has to be our heart. Mom and daddy or grandma and grandpa can do a lot of things, but they cannot believe for you. Amen. We must believe and trust for ourselves. But it also, as it stands a memorial of God's divine goodness, it also reminds us of God's goodness to the world. The ark. Because what did God say? Here's what I'm going to do. But amen, but he waited. 120 years in building and God waited. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Amen, he preached. There was an invitation extended. There was an offer that was extended. Noah preached and God waited. Noah preached and God waited. All are invited to enter the ark. But amen, but guess what? There was none in Noah's day that sought admission. Nobody came forward. Nobody said, amen, that I want to go. And so, but the ark is a memorial of God's goodness. Amen. It reminds us of his saints as it did of Noah. It reminds us of his regard for the family of the saints. And amen. And it reminds us of God's goodness and his long suffering to this world. The ark. Amen. It speaks of those things when we see it. But also when we see the ark, it is a testimony to Noah's faith. A testimony to Noah's faith. And the Bible tells us when we start talking about faith and we think about the faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7, it says, By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Amen. How was he saved? Amen. By faith. What did he do? He believed God. Amen. Boy, he believed God. God said, in a time such as Noah, God said, here's what I want you to do. He gave command, and the text verse that we read said that Noah did everything that God commanded him concerning the ark. Boy, you think about that. What if that was you? What if God told us to build an ark? What if that had been us in that day? But amen, Noah, amen, not maybe understanding everything, amen, but amen, he knew what God said do, and he proceeded to do it by faith. It was on account of Noah's faith that the ark was devised. Noah believed God. He had a heart for God, and God, amen, you know what God knows how to do? God knows how to save His people. Amen. He knows how to save His people. So faith, it was on account of Noah's faith that the ark was devised. And amen, it was faith that built and furnished the ark. Amen. James talks about having faith and having works. Amen. And, you know, some folks say, well, I got faith, but it don't ever compel them to do anything. Well, amen, Noah's faith compelled him to get busy. Amen, to work. Because here's what God said do. And so he proceeded. He didn't just say, I believe it, but he put the hammer to the nail, so to speak, and he began to work. And so faith built and furnished the ark. And while they don't know how everything was exactly, God told him, he said, you're going to build an ark, you're going to build rooms. They had rooms, boy, in that ark. They had rooms for everything. Animals, people, feed, water. They had rooms. Faith built the ark. By faith, Noah entered the ark. Amen. There came a day and a time when everything was done. And amen, God brought those animals there and everything was in. And amen, Noah and his family, when he had preached his last message, his last word, he went into the ark, and the Bible tells us, and God closed the door. God shut them in. Amen, God closed the door. And amen, they were there by faith. But I tell you something else faith did. We can think about that, and we can talk about that trip and getting in the boat, and boy, they was in a good place. And I don't know how God did it all exactly, but amen, I do know this. It's a mighty big old boat. But there was a lot of animals and there was a lot of things in there to do. And we talk about sometimes around here, we'll talk about, you know, when it rains for a week or so and things happen and we can't get outside or do anything. You know, we say stuff like, boy, I'm about to go stir crazy. Well, listen, I'm going to tell you what Noah was. For about a year, he was, you know where he was? Any day you wanted to find him, where is he? He's in the ark. He's floating on the water. Amen. He's in the ark. He's safe. He's secure. But amen, he's in the ark. What's he doing? He's taking care of the animals and tending to everything. Amen. All the instruction that God gave him. Amen. That's what he's doing. Where's he doing it? He's in the ark. Amen. After a month, where is he? He's in the ark. Amen. I tell you, I believe this. I thought when I walked up that thing and I looked at it, I thought, my goodness, at the size of that boat. But I guarantee you this, if you made me stay in it for a year, it'd probably get a lot smaller. Floating around on the water. And even in a boat like that, I mean, you can feel that water as it goes up and down and it moves around. But amen, he was there. And what was it that sustained him during that time? It was faith. He trusted God. He believed God. Amen. So it was a memorial to the divine goodness of God. And it was a testimony to Noah's faith. It preaches and speaks of those things. But it's also to us, it's a symbol of the Savior. A symbol of the Savior, a symbol of Jesus. The ark was the place of refuge. There was not another safe place outside of the ark. There was no safe place outside of the ark. Can I tell you this morning, there's no safe place outside of Jesus. There's no corner that you can go get on. There's no mountain that's high enough that you can climb to the peak. There's no corner of the world that you can go get in and you can hide and everything will just be alright. There was no other safe place except in the ark. And this morning, there's no other safe place of refuge except in Jesus. Psalms 27 and 7 tells us, Thou art my hiding place. My refuge. And amen, the ark is that. It speaks about that, about a refuge, and it points us to Jesus, that He is our refuge. Amen. For there about a year, the ark was home. Amen. It was home. Amen. Psalm chapter 90 and verse 1 says, Lord, Thou hast been our home in all generations. Our dwelling place. Our home. Amen. In all generations. God, amen, that's where we stay. The prodigal, amen, you know what he wanted to do? He got to a place, he said, you know where I want to leave? I want to leave home. But thank God, he got down the road and he found out, as many have found out through the years, you know what? Home wasn't so bad. Amen, it was really a good place. I just didn't realize it. I didn't realize how good it was. Oh, how good is God to us. Amen, that He gives us a dwelling place, a place that we can dwell, that we can call a home, and that we can come in and out, and we can find that safety and that security in Him, in Christ Jesus. The ark was also, you know, during that time, any worship, anything that was done, you know where it was conducted? Amen, it was conducted right there in the ark. It was the temple, so to speak. It was a place where they worshiped. There, Noah and his family, they worshiped. And we must be in Christ if we would be acceptable worshipers of God. Amen. We cannot worship God on our terms and our way. We must be in Christ. John speaks of the Lord after this fashion in Revelation chapter number 21. He speaks about the Almighty God and the Lamb are the temple of it. Amen. Talking about their future home. They're the temple, and that was the place. That ark was the place of worship where they worshiped God. And it still speaks to us today. But also on that thought about a symbol of the Savior, the ark was a conveyance. It was a transport, if you will. Where did it transport? It transported Noah and his family from the old world to the new world. Amen. It transported them from a place where they had sorrow and trouble, and they worked and they labored for those many, many days and those hours. That transported them from that world until it rested them on Mount Ararat. And amen, and they rested there on a mountain in a new world, in a new land. Amen. There wasn't anybody that was there then to ridicule. There wasn't anybody there to mock and to scoff. Amen. It was a transporting from one world to another. And amen. And in Jesus is the only way that we're going to get transported from a world of sorrow to a world of glory. Amen. From a world of trouble to a world, the Bible said, where there is no, where there are no tears, where there are no sorrow, no death, no dying anymore. Amen. How do you get to such a world? Amen. You get there by Jesus. And amen. This ark, the only way that anybody got from the place where Noah and his family started to where they ended was by being in the ark. And amen, this morning the only way you get to heaven is by being in Jesus. No other way to get there but by Jesus. And amen, we know that Jesus is going to take those, amen, that's His, and He's going to transport us, amen, from this world to another world, to a place and to a land whose builder and maker is God. Streets of gold, amen, we're going to go where He's the light of that city. No more death, no more sorrow. What a day and what a time. Amen. When we leave this old world and we wake up in that brand new world. But there's only one way to get there, and that's Jesus. That's Jesus. And so He was also the ark as a symbol, and it preaches to us of the Savior. But also the ark is a beacon for the sinner. A beacon for the sinner. As I remember back in the 80s and early 90s when we used to deer hunt and chase them deer with them dogs and them hounds and all, we had a place. And we said that, you know, everybody said, is anybody on Beacon Light Hill Road? Amen. We knew where that was at. Now then, I never saw Beacon Light up on that hill. Some of you probably did. I didn't. It was already gone by the time I came along. But at one time, evidently, there was a light that was there, a beacon, a light that was up on the hill, and it sent out a light. There was a signal, and there was a reason. And amen, there was an ark, and amen, and it stands there, Noah preached, and he built, and they worked, amen, for 120 years this stood there, amen, for them to see. And what it does is it points out, the ark warns sinners of the danger that's to come. But it also points out the awful nature of sin and the nature of man to trust in his own self, to trust in the things of this world. They were eating and drinking and giving and taking in marriage. They were just living life while they was having a big time. It's a warning of what pride can do. It's a warning to us today that though hand joined to hand, that the wicked shall not go unpunished. Amen. They can join up, make all the alliances together that they want to, but amen, when the rains, water started, amen, I can promise you this, that some minds begin to change. But it was too late. It's a beacon and a reminder that numbers cannot shield us from divine wrath. The crime of those in those ancient days was nonetheless terrible because it was universally fashionable. Can I tell you today that, well, we've got a bunch of sin that's just universally fashionable. In 2024, it's fashionable, amen, to do certain things. And it's looked on, amen, in a good light. And men have done what? The same thing they did in Noah's day. They joined hand to hand, amen. But it does not take away from the fact that the ark was built and it stands a testimony and a beacon to a world that says that Jesus is the only way of salvation, that there's no other name given among men whereby that we must be saved and we must get in the ark of safety, which is Jesus, because, amen, Jesus is the only way. And amen, I didn't devise that. That's what the Bible says. I just preached the word. And so the crime of that ancient world was not made less terrible because it was fashionable. Everybody's doing it. Listen, if it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's sin, it's sin. If it's against God, it's against God. But also the ark proclaims the willfulness of sinners. The willfulness of sinners. Now, you had Noah, and you had his three sons, and you had their wives. And so you had these four men, and you had this great project to happen and to build. What do you think the chances that they hired some help at time to time? I think it's probably very likely. When you look and you see what they did, well, you can go down there on Noah. He's crazy, but he'll pay you good. The thought is this. There actually may have been some folks that actually worked on the ark. They didn't get in the ark. What a shame that would have been. That they actually may have helped to construct and to build the ark, but they didn't get on board and they were destroyed. What a shame, what a thought. Because see, the ark warns us of the power of sin. How long was it in building? We've done mention 120 years, month after month. Amen, the building was going on. The work and all of these things were going on. Noah was preaching. They were building. And all of these things happened day after day and month after month and year after year. And everybody that came by, they surveyed and they looked and they heard the preaching of Noah and they saw what was going on and the warnings. And they came by and they continued in their sin. The Bible warns us of the deceitfulness of sin. That ain't never happened before, Noah. You are. Some folks think, listen, I've been hearing Jesus coming back all my life. He ain't come back yet. They don't change the fact that He's coming. It don't change the fact that He's coming. Sin is deceitful. As we listen to the strange and varied stories that this silent ark tells, will we listen? Will we hear? Can we see the goodness and the faithfulness of God? Can we see the warnings about the awful revelation of God's power as He comes to put an end to sin once and for all and to destroy it? He preached, Noah did, for 120 years. But amen, nobody got on board. But the ark still stands today as a testimony, and the ark still preaches. Amen, it preaches what? It preaches to a memorial of the goodness of God. It preaches to us and tells us about the faith of a man named Noah. It preaches to us about Jesus as our Savior, the only one that can save. And amen, and it preaches to us and it tells us that it's a beacon to the lost world. Judgment is a-coming. The ark still speaks to us. The Word of God speaks to us. Amen, if we'll just listen. As we stand this morning, if you have a need this morning while our sister just plays, I want to ask you, if you will, just to bow your heads this morning. And if there be a need, if you have a desire to pray, if God spoke to your heart, while we wait just a minute as our sister plays and with all of our heads bowed, eyes closed, amen, if you have a need this morning, a desire to come, I pray you come while we wait this morning.